So I want to start off, I'm going to kind of go back over some scriptures that we've been going over. Hebrews 11:5 says this, "By faith Enoch was taken up, for he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before he was taken up, he was pleasing to God." And we talked last week about this, obtaining the witness, making it yours, knowing that you have it, this inward knowledge that you are pleasing to God. And what a powerful thing that is. And I don't know, I think some people attain it easier than others. I think for me, it's, it's, I have to just constantly remind myself. I'm not sure why. But it seemed like in life, a lot of times, I never felt like a real failure too often, a few times. But I always felt like I was just always could do a little bit more, should have done a little bit better type thing. And sometimes just being satisfied with saying, man, that's done. I know every flaw in it, but overall it's nice. And looking at your own life, just saying, I'm happy with my life. I believe I'm happy to God. And that, I don't know, that sounds kind of arrogant to say that for you to, for maybe that's part of it, is just that trying to express God's opinion of you in a bold way of saying, my God loves me, and he's proud of me, and he's happy with me. I guess maybe that's maybe the carnal nature doesn't want to go there. But Enoch had obtained this witness that he was pleasing to God, and God took him. So I kind of want to stay on that line today, and let's go to Psalms 103, and it says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." Now, by this statement being in there, forget none of his benefits, it indicates that you can forget his benefits. So what happens when you forget his benefits? If there's, you know, if David is encouraging himself here, Lord, I don't want to forget your benefits, then there must be a consequence if you do forget his benefits. And I don't think it's too presumptuous to say, if you forget, you forfeit. Boy, how many of you ever hid money from yourself? Anybody put it in their visor or someplace just for emergencies? You know, or a sneaky little place in the billfold or something like that. And I can't tell you, there's so few times that I've been in an emergency that I remember I got it. It seems like I find it by accident some other time and go, oh, yeah, I had that from me, you know. But in an emergency, I tend to forget. And again, if you forget, you forfeit. Or, and along with that, if you don't know about the benefits, you also forfeit it. Boy, yeah, one thing I try to do when I'm flying, especially when I'm flying with the airlines and the hotels, if there are benefits sometimes that if you pay attention are pretty valuable. Extremely valuable at times. But again, if you don't know about them, you don't benefit from them. And if you forget about them, you forfeit that. And so it goes on and said, "Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities." And again, just a simple fact, all of them. Man, all of them. And if you're having a struggle with some of your sins or some of your iniquities or some of your problems, you know, and you're having a hard time believing God can forgive you or that you can forgive yourself, what I do is I magnify the Lord. And I said, listen, if he died for me, if he did through all that for me so I can be forgiven, who am I to insult him by saying it wasn't good enough for me? I'm still carrying this weight. I won't insult my Heavenly Father's sacrifice. If he sacrificed everything for me to have for total forgiveness, then honor the King. Amen. Honor his sacrifice. It's a sufficient to cover everybody and everything. Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Boy, those are you know, if you're in a pit and he redeems you, it's awesome. On the farm, we used to say, you know,
when you're heading out to the pasture in a muddy spring, pick a good rut because you're going to be there a while. It's hard to get out of a pit, isn't it? But when he redeems you out of a pit, it's awesome. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Now, this one is really kind of a, I think we forfeit this a lot. Our Heavenly Father crowns us with loving kindness. It's just kind of like a crown that just drips good things over us all day long. We could easily forget that and forfeit that. He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Boy, there's one when you get a little older, you really appreciate that renewal factor. Feeling, I don't know, I just love, I love like an outburst of energy. I knew I shouldn't enter into the drug culture because I would have liked it way too much. I like that boost. I remember once we were just getting ready, a few guys in the church were getting ready to play racquetball once, and I was just feeling good, and I just went like an orangutan. I started swinging my racket, and then I ran up the walls and down in the corner, and the rest of the guys were just looking, going, you okay, Pastor? You all right? just feeling it. Just feeling it. I like feeling it. Hallelujah. So, again, if we forget, we forfeit. And then if we don't know about it, we forfeit it. And as I'm thinking about these things, it's like there's a premise that I think is insignificant maybe sometimes in our thinking, but super significant on how the outcome of our life comes. And that is your viewpoint of God. We sang it today, you know, this is my Father. This is what my Father's like. How you view your Father is going to determine your life in every area of your life. The foundation of your life that controls all the outcomes in every area of your life will be how you perceive God. Whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, Buddhist, whatever, the foundation of your life that governs everything that you build in your little lifetime will be built on your perception of who God is. And I would say this, that you got to have a lot of confidence. You got to keep your confidence about how you perceive God, but you got to stay teachable all the time. Got to stay teachable. I had a friend of mine that was coming to church way back in the days when we were not in Sturgis but in Vail. And then he decided to go to another church, and I said, that's great. Go be a witness there and all that. And he said the first Sunday he got there, he said there was a kid running through the sanctuary, and the pastor just stood up and said, stop that running! Don't run in church or go to hell! Or something like that. And I couldn't believe it. And he told me that. I said, really? And I just think, boy, what kind of perception could he maybe develop off of that about who the Father is? Woofta. Needless to say, the guy didn't want to stay in that church. But again, our foundation is how we perceive God. So always be confident, but always allow the Lord to share with you new things on his perception. And then we're going to go to Philemon. Paul wrote to the guy, to this guy named Philemon, and he writes this. He says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, it's kind of cool that when you're praying, you can actually mention people to God. I mean, it's like, you know, this is a good thing. And a lot of times, you know, if somebody just comes across your mind, you know, and you got your time alone with God, you know, if that person comes to mind, just say, by the way, Father, I want to thank you for him. I want to thank you for that lady. I want to thank you for that person, you know. And I want to pray for them. Why? Because it's a valuable thing. It's a part of that prompting of the Holy Spirit. Let's put it this way. We have a Heavenly Father that wants to crown us with loving kindness and compassion. He wants to pour out everything good on us. He wants to bless us and renew our energy and all that. And so here's this Father that has a source of everything, wanting to just dump his grace on us and just flood us. And the big question is, well, why is it so trickling down? Why is it not more? And here's the deal, in my opinion. If you think he's withholding it for a reason, then you're going to have to deal with that, you know. Or if you think he's not, you know, there's some people just don't think God's all that good. That he's just more of a demander than a releaser. And so again, your belief system of who God really is makes all the difference in the world. And to me, I just try to always say, he's always for me. He's always got what I need. And he's always pouring it out. He never restrains himself. So if it's a trickle, I got to look to something besides, oh God, please help me. That makes sense? It's like you don't have to talk him into it. He's already done it. So I look, you know, when you're problem solving, you know, I enjoy problem solving in a way, except that when there's problem after problem after problem. But you start looking, you know, it's kind of funny because with farmers sometimes, man, some of them are really great problem solvers, and then there's a few that aren't. And sometimes, you know, when your car isn't running and you're looking for the muffler bearing, you just know that you don't have enough knowledge, okay, to know where the problem's really coming from. And for a lot of people, they just don't have the knowledge and they forgot. The problem isn't with God wanting to bless you or have it for you or released it already to you. There's a blockage someplace in there. And that at least gives you a jump start to not be wasting a whole lot of hours and time in prayer wondering why God isn't moving in your behalf. He's moved in your behalf. He's already done it. Huge difference. Huge, huge difference. So Paul says this, I mention you in my prayers because, this is kind of cool, because I hear of your love and your faith. Because I hear of your love and your faith. How many people are hearing about our love and our faith? I think there's more than we think. Sometimes I get out in the community and I was sharing with one brother and I said, we're just sharing and talking business or whatever else. And then I said, but you know, I said something about the Lord. And he said, John, listen, if anybody knows you, they know that you just are head over heels in love with Jesus. And I didn't know hardly what to say. It's like, really? Man, I think I could do a better job. But he said, no, it just oozes out of you. And I think it's pretty cool that even when you and I are doing our best and we're a little carnal and everything else, God is glorifying his name through us all the time. Even, man, I tell you what, even when we don't think we're doing a very good job, not for our credit, just because it's God is inside of us. The kingdom is here, and it shows, and it shows out to people. And then when you see other people, Paul is saying, man, I heard of your faith, and I heard of your love for others. And he says, so I've been praying for you. And the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray. Now he's praying something now. So these are key notes. If he can pray for something, then we can pray for that. He said, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. That word fellowship is, again, that Greek word koinonia means a partnership. That I pray that the partnership that you have with faith in God and then that working together would become effective. Man, to have something but not have it become effective is just, again, that's back to forfeit and forget and all that stuff. You've got it, you forget it. I always think about this. If somebody put $100,000 in my checking account and I never balanced my checking account, never looked at my checking account, it would just sit there and I'd never utilize it. And that's probably the picture for a lot of people. It's not for a lot of everybody. God has already deposited everything into your spirit, man. You have everything, every resource you need. But if you don't know about it and if you don't know how to write the checks on it, it just sits there. I say it's more fun to get it to be effective, to make it work. And he says, I'm praying that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the what? Knowledge. Of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Now, this is a big one for me because motive is everything, right? Intent of your heart. I love that for Christ's sake. Because if I come before the Lord and said, for my sake, would you please do this? I don't have much confidence in that. I don't know why. I just think that's a, I just don't have that much confidence. I just don't. But when I can come before him and said, Lord, there's things that you placed in me for my good, for your sake. Again, honor the king. Honor the king. When you and I walk in the blessings of God, it honors the king. It magnifies him. It glorifies him. And that word knowledge is the word gnosko, and it means to know it intimately, not just know it, you know, kind of randomly, but you actually recognize it, you smell it, you taste it, you know it. You know the good things that God's given to you. But it also means this, through the acknowledgement of the things given to you. So one of the things you and I get to do, when we acknowledge the things that God has given to us, it makes them effective. That seems kind of simple, but it's powerful. Father, I acknowledge that you've made me wisdom. You've made me wisdom. I acknowledge that you've made me righteous. I acknowledge that you've deposited every good thing inside of me. I acknowledge that you've healed all my diseases and carried away all my sicknesses and you've done all these things. Now, we'll go back to a verse that we've been looking at a lot. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this part we haven't been talking a lot about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Now, it says his righteousness. That actually was added in there. It fits. But let's just say, but seek first the kingdom and righteousness. Again, when you're seeking righteousness, what are you looking for? I don't know. I heard a lot of these words growing up, and sometimes I really didn't know what they meant. Anybody ever do that? If somebody actually said, what does that mean? I'd have to say, well, I really don't know. I think, I won't go there. But a lot of times people are saying things and you ask them, well, what does that mean? And they don't know. You can sometimes be deceived by people's vocabulary. You can actually think they're smart if they got a good back. I remember one young man in Bible college, we were trucking down the road and he started rattling off all this stuff about motors, you know, with high performance, high cam pistons, you know, and 3/4 horse cams and all this stuff. And he just kept on rattling stuff. And I was thinking, man, I thought I knew something about motors, but man, this guy's a geek. And then a little later down the road, he says, John, I got a question for you. I said, what's that? He says, do all motors have cams or just the hot cars? We got a mechanic in church. And I finally said, Kevin, what do you do? Do you read Hot Rod magazine? Yeah, he said, cover to cover. And said, that's how you learned all these? Yeah. But I said, you really don't know how a motor works, do you? And he goes, no. Seek ye first the kingdom. If you're going to seek something, you got to know what it looks like. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness, I think the best definition is it's the way it ought to be. If you're righteous, what does it mean? You are the way you ought to be. Well, according to what? According to everybody else's thoughts about you? According to what the book says about marriage? According to what your family thinks or whatever? I think the only to be righteous in his kingdom means you're the way you ought to be according to what God has designed you to be. And when did God design you? When were you first thought about by God? When you were conceived? Boy, he was there. Bible says he was working with you while you're in your mother's womb. He was there. But was that the first thoughts God had with you? Is that how he designed you? You know, and in a moment of meditation once, I was under severe pain of my back. I couldn't even focus. And I finally just went into a deep meditation trying to come out of the pain. And the Lord showed me this. He said, look to the light. And I was looking through just a massive darkness. I mean, it's just like it was eternity of darkness. And I saw an itty-bitty light way far away. And I said, Lord, what is that? He says, that was my first thought of you. I said, why is it so far away? Because he said, it was a long time ago. I said, what, all the darkness? He said, that's what you've had to come through all these years. Even before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. And my thoughts are more are towards you more than the sands of the sea, so I've been thinking about you forever. And he said, you see that little dot back there? That's where you'll find my original design for you. And that's the righteous design. That's the way you should be. Not what has happened to you coming through all the darkness. Not all the stuff that is attached to you as you came through. And on to all the other pains and all the other disappointments and everything else that hit you in these last few years, he says, for you to understand what I mean by being righteous, you have to go back to the original thought that I had for you. And by the way, he said, it's all perfect. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's a gorgeous picture. Every once in a while, I'm in my hot tub. I look to the star, and it's just the star's only a couple thousand light years away. It's only taking some of them 4,000 light years to get here. But when you were conceived, it's way farther than that. And it's beautiful. And that's the righteousness that he's talking about. Hallelujah. So what are we seeking? We're seeking his kingdom, we're seeking righteousness. And he said, when you seek these things, then everything else will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. By the way, the snow's coming, so is trouble. I mean, we can all say, don't say that S word. But we're not spooky. I won't go there either. He leads us into reality. Reality is, in South Dakota, it's going to snow sometime. In your life, you're going to have trouble. Doesn't mean you need to fear it. Don't mean you have to believe it. You know, you don't have to believe for it. It'll come. But you can deal with today by seeking the kingdom and seeking righteousness. Hebrews 11 says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of... For by it, the men of old gained approval. And here we go again. Gained approval. Obtained the witness that you're pleasing to him. Know that the Father approves of you. I tell you, it's huge. If you know that Father approves of you, it increases the flow of life into your life. It'll affect your college studies. It'll affect your business. It'll affect everything in your life. If you have this knowledge and are aware of it and you acknowledge this good thing that the Father approves you. Right now, it's kind of interesting. I just talked to Daniel McCarty, and his daughter is going to be secretary for the Secretary of Luxembourg. She's just moving into a brand new home that they built over there, and she'll be there about 3 years. And so that's some prominent people. Alexandro, who is the young man that we're supporting a little bit, going to diplomat school in Czech. This last week, he just met with the president. The president of Albania came to Czech, and he got to have one-on-one with him. Enrico will probably be meeting with the president of the Philippines probably next year. What's going on? Think about how important it is who you know. It's everything, isn't it? I remember filling out resumes. I only did it once. It was so discouraging, I decided to never do it again. It was just really discouraging to me. But it's like, it's not what you put on that paper, it's who you know. It's who you know. When you gained God's approval, that's way bigger than the president of Albania. That's way bigger than the president of the United States. I mean, man, you've got the guy on your side. Again, if you don't know that, or if you forget that, you forfeit that advantage. You know, I once told the Lord, I said, it feels like I'm cheating in life because I got you on my side. He said, so I just went with my friend. He said, anything worth having is worth cheating for. So if it's cheating, I'm going to cheat. You and I have the creator of the universe inside us. And he's for us. And he approves us. But the biggest thing we got to do is get rid of the wrong thinking that had and the feeling that we're not pleasing to him. That's really what we got to do. That's what we really got to get rid of. So let's go on here. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's still going on today, by the way. Things that are being created are made out of things that are not visible. But by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before he was taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, say without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. So if we're going to please God, how is it? It's by faith. It's by faith. Well, it's just kind of hard to believe that God's happy with me. I know. That's the battle. Don't think it's easy. Don't feel like you're cheating too much because it's hard work. It's really hard work to believe God really loves you and actually adores you and is on your side and for you. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. So if you're believing in God, and we are, then you also got to believe that he's the rewarder. And that's sometimes the part we fail in. You remember the verse that, I didn't write it down, but the verse that says, you know, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Lisa was ministering on this a few weeks ago. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to the small barge. And like one, you know, Bob Yenny was just saying, it's like if you wanted to clarify that, you'd have to say, if, and you do have, in parentheses, if, and you do have, faith like a mustard seed. It's not saying, okay, when you get it, you know what, so often it's like, when you get it, if you believe in this, if you believe that he is and that he's a rewarder, and that word if is a conjunction word, and well, let's look at it this way. In Romans 10:9, it says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the word there is, again, azozo, which means it's not just talking about heaven. It's talking about you're going to be smart, you're going to be wise, you're going to be intelligent, you're going to be free of stress, you're going to be blessed in your body, you're going to be blessed financially. Zozo is a big word. It means just, man, it means just, you're saved. Oh, happy day when Jesus saved my soul. It wasn't just a ticket, as Jody was sharing. It is everything you need in this life to be successful and to be joyful. So if, and again, sometimes that little word if is what we get hung up on. If I'd only do that, I'd be free. But the word is a conjunction. It actually could be said this way. Because you confess with your mouth. I mean, it's just a conjunction. And actually, it makes way more sense for you and I. Let's put it this way, whether grammar-wise that's technical or not. If you confess with your mouth, have you confessed with your mouth Jesus, Lord? Yeah. So now we don't have to put the little if in. Because I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's a past tense deal. I've already done it. You've already done it. It's an already done deal. And believe in your heart. Do you believe in your heart that Did God raise him? Yeah, absolutely, man. That's why we're here. We're not here, you know. Well, there's no other reason to be here. This is a big one, though. Because we do believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you are saved. Zozo, you got it all. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in what? Now we're back to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, first, seek first the kingdom of God. How do you do that? Well, we just did it by saying, Jesus, you're my Lord. That's what we did. We found the kingdom. We found the king. We found the king, and now we're in the kingdom. So Matthew 6:33 is not a verse for you and I to look at and say, oh, man, someday we need to get there. Oh, someday I need to do that. No, what Matthew 6:33 is, hey, that's a done deal in my life. I sought the kingdom. I sought righteousness. I got it. And everything else now is coming to me. I'm in the flow. I know it's simple, but it's way more powerful than it sounds. If you believe that, the flow increases dramatically. If you're waiting for it to happen, it's just when it's choked down. It's that simple. With the heart man believes and resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of you have been trying to focus a little bit more on obtaining the witness that you're pleasing to the Lord? Is anybody? You can't raise your hand on this one. I won't make fun of you or make you come up and share. But listen, a doer is blessed. And so I've been focusing not just once or twice a day. I've been focusing moment by moment. Lord, I'm pleasing to you. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I belong to him. That's what that means. Man, when we sing that song, I belong to him. That's reality. I belong to him. I'm finding a few. I've got new symptoms in my body, by the way. Don't need to give you a big old report on that, but there's just, it just seems like trouble's coming from. But he said, there'll be enough trouble for every day, so I got enough trouble for every day. And it's a symptom that makes me very aware. And it kind of, you know, it's not huge, it's just an irritation. But it gives me focus, and I just like, it's really fun just to say, I belong to you. I've already got what I need. I'm righteous. I'm the way I should be. And I love to just say to my body, you're righteous. Be the way you were designed to be. Do you know this body is really designed phenomenal? It is phenomenal. It is absolutely amazing. I'm saved. I'm saved. Goes on to say, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. We'll share more on that in sermons to come. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches to all who call upon him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And now we can say, I've called upon the name of the Lord and I am saved. I have it all. And you can just kind of feel the floodgates starting to crack open. And the flow starting to increase. And this is a daily walk. Amen. We live by faith day by day. It's not a one-time sacrifice at all, and you got it all. It's moment by moment, I believe. Jesus is my Lord. I'm in his kingdom. I believe God raised him from the dead, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him, and I am one of those. And I'm rewarded. I'm blessed. I'm saved. That's you. That's not going to be you. It's not down the road for you. You say, well, I've never said Jesus be the Lord of my life. Well, you can say it right now then. For somebody that maybe has never said it, let's help them. Let's say it together. Jesus, you're my Lord.
Bam. Oh, it can't be that easy.
Well, ask Jackson how easy it was to get conceived. It's not that hard. It just takes a moment. I believe in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me? Let's go before the Lord and just... Yeah, I've shared some of this. Yeah, obviously, you have too with other people. And sometimes they say, well, it's just kind of hard. And I love what my wife says to little kids. Sometimes she's got preschoolers there. She's so demanding. She wants them to open their own crackers. You know, it's like, and if I come in there and the kids kind of open, can't open their crackers, and I open them, she'll look at me, give me the evil eye. Don't do that. Why? Because, well, you're not helping a kid. Because what's really wrong with a kid that can't open their crackers? Because they got a belief system inside that it's hard. Too hard for them. That's the only thing that's wrong. They got the right fingers. They got the dexterity. They got the fingernails. They got everything they need, you know. They can even go borrow a pair of scissors if they have to. The only thing they got wrong is they think it's too hard. And you're not helping anybody when you tell them, well, that's out of your reach. It's not out of our reach. I'm not preaching something today that you and I don't believe is tangibly ours right now, not just some hypothetical thing. Right now, we believe. Right now, we say Jesus is Lord, and right now, we have salvation. You say, well, what, why is my body still hurting? Who cares? I mean, seriously. You gonna let that? You gonna let some temporary pain in your dexterity, in your body, cancel out the eternal effect of God's salvation for you? Well, what do you do? I ignore it. Listen, I've ignored some of God's promises pretty easily. Haven't you? If you can do that with something so powerful and so wonderful for you, surely you can ignore some symptoms and some delayed pleasures that you're believing for. It's not that hard. I said enough. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for each other. And we, Lord Jesus, we come before your throne, and for your name's sake, we are asking for the floodgates to open. Hallelujah. They're already open. Help us to just throw out the disbelief and throw out the doubt and all that, and enjoy this incredible thing that you love us. And may we walk in the garden with you and talk with you and feel your voice in our ear and your warm embrace around our heart. Because we want intimacy with you, Jesus. That's what you really bought us. Amen. Amen. I come to the garden alone. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? God bless you.